Morning. It's good to be here. We are going to study Daniel chapter 6. I just got to show you the picture and you all know the story. But hopefully bring some different insights into it also. Just give an update with Danielle. Danielle in Hong Kong, she's going to be leading a group to come to the 2025 Urbana Conference in Phoenix, Arizona at the end of the year. She's going to be leading this small group from their church, trying to gain a global perspective on how God is working the world and how they can get involved. So these are kids 18 to 26, 28 that are seeking what they can do in world missions. So you can pray for Danielle as she leads that group. The one positive thing for us is she's going to come earlier because the conference, the Urbana conference, starts at December 27th. So she'll come a week or two before and she'll have Christmas with us. So that's really good news for us. We're very happy for that. And, you know, Danielle's gone to Urbana. You know, Urbana has been impacting youth for mission for nearly 80 years. Kind of crazy. We're just so happy that she'll be able to do this. As far as the other kids, they're all doing well. Caleb and Marissa and Gigi and Caleb, they're young in their marriage. Continue to pray for them. So that's the update. Why don't we just open a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time, this season in our lives, Father, that you have shown to us your goodness. Father, in light of some challenging times, in light of victories, we want to give you thanks for you are such a wonderful and amazing God. And then through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have this hope, we have this drive to be a ambassador for you in this dark world, as we have heard before. Father, we would just want to give you all the glory this morning. But Father, as we look into your word, that you would just that the Holy Spirit might prick our hearts, and that, Father, that you can also see just in our lives how you have brought us through the good times and the bad. You're always there. We want to give you thanks, Father. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's good to continue in our book study of Daniel. Last week, Josh gave us our study in Daniel 5. And the last verses in chapter 5 kind of transitions us to chapter 6. Let me just read that for you. That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. So there's the transition from the Babylonians or the Chaldeans to the Medes and the Persians. Now, this is one of the most famous stories that we know. We teach it to our Sunday school kids in Sunday. The simple message of Daniel in the lion's den, you know, teaching us the power of prayer and how we can trust in God in so many in all circumstances. This morning, I want to focus on some additional lessons from chapter 6. We'll look at Daniel's commitment, his conviction, his courage, and then to tie all that up is consistency. Consistency. Consistency in his commitment, in his conviction, in his courage. We are challenged by that word consistency every day. Every day. You know, life comes to us and things that we don't control, and we just pray that we would respond in a consistent way for our commitment to God, to our convictions to God's word, and to be courageous. To be courageous in that. Let me see if I get this. Nope, it's not working. Sorry, let me try that again. All right. Wow, it was working before. I think Dennis is in the way. There we go. I'll get you back, Dennis. So a little bit more of a background. And I think this study in Daniel 6 kind of challenges me, because Daniel was in his 80s or late 70s when we see him in chapter 6. I see in the seniors, includes me. Daniel received special leadership training, and was a high government official for the Babylonian Empire. He was an advisor on policy and governance. We see here Nebuchadnezzar's dream that the dream with the chest and the arms of silver representing the Medo-Persian kingdom. And as we transition from chapter 5 to 6, Darius of Mede. Yeah, I wrote this down specifically. This is so relevant for us who are seniors, that God can and will use us if we are courageous, willing, and obedient for his service. Daniel lived the majority of his life in exile, living an excellent life in the world, but not of the world. And that's the challenge each one of us has. And from the map, you can see the vastness of the Medo-Persian Empire. You can see those red streaks. Those are the major trade that's going out into the east, to China, into India, going to back to Rome, going to Egypt. So in Babylon, you can see it by that, where the light green, the first light green on the left, is where Babylon is. So that's the setting. Let's see if this works. Yeah, it works. Thanks, George. I want to read the first 9 verses of chapter 6 to get us going here. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps, and to be over the whole kingdom, and over these 3 governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them, so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. I think this, you have all these men, 120, and then these 3 governors. They were going to be in charge of the kingdom, and they had this one goody-two-shoes. This one that would prefer Darius before their own personal gain. And they conspired with one another and said, we got to get rid of this guy. This guy's no good. He's gonna tattletale on us. He's going to tell the king that, hey, we're skimming from his kingdom. Let me just continue. And the king gave thought, okay, but they could not find no charge or fault, because he was faithful. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the laws of his God. So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors, had consulted together to establish a royal statute to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 40 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish this the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which is not altered. Therefore, King Darius signed this written decree. Because an excellent spirit was in him, they could not find no charge or fault because he was faithful. The opposite of that. These satraps and the governors, they all, like I said, conspired. And one thing they knew they could manipulate King Darius is by flattering him. Oh, let's flatter the king. We'll tell him, for 30 days, no one can pray to anyone except you, O king. And remember, this is a transition. He just conquered the Chaldeans or the Babylonians. And he wants to show this kingdom that he just conquered that he is the one to be worshipped. And so he said, you know, that's a great idea, guys. Let's do that. But then you also see the lie of the satraps and governors, because they said, we all want to do this. We know that, no, that's not true, because Daniel wasn't there, was he? Daniel had established a way of life committed. This is our first word, committed. Daniel had established a way of life committed to having Yahweh at the center. His daily practices, his decisions, and even his courage in the face of opposition reflected a heart fully devoted to God. We saw that earlier in the early chapters. Whether in prayer, integrity, or obedience, Daniel's faith shaped every part of his life. And here comes that word, consistently. He was committed. But he was committed consistently. They tried to destroy Daniel's faith in God earlier on, to destroy his belief in the country, his family, his own identity. They tried to break down. He was committed to giving his best to every kingdom. He always gave his best. Everywhere he was placed, he was a blessing. And things improved. Remember, he's in exile. He's in a different country. He's in the world, but not of it. He embraced new leadership from Nebuchadnezzar to Belshazzar to Darius and then to Cyrus later on. He was the top advisor for two different kingdoms. That's pretty amazing. You know, we can understand Joseph. He was, you know, in the Egyptian kingdom. He was like the number one, number two man. But Daniel was for the Chaldeans and also for the Persians, Medo-Persians, the number two man. What a character. What a character that is. He was dedicated in finding answers. He was not afraid to take on new areas of responsibility. And this was a convicting point. He was committed to being an example worthy of inspection. Let me read that one more time. He was committed to being an example of worthy inspection. Is your life an open book that you challenge anyone? Look, my life, tell me what I'm doing wrong. Give me something. Throw a tomato at me, or, you know, if I do wrong. Daniel knew the truth. As we read in earlier on, Jeremiah wrote to the group in exile in Babylon. And we read that in Jeremiah chapter 29. I'm going to read this in verse 1. It says, now these are the words of the letter which Jeremiah, the prophet, sent from Jerusalem to the rest of the elders of the exile, the priests and the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. So this was a letter that Jeremiah wrote to the men and women in exile in Babylon. This is what he says, verse 7 of chapter 29. This is his instruction. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will have welfare. And you know, to me, he's in a faraway country. They try to destroy his identity, to destroy his very thought of who God is. Jeremiah says, pray for them. Pray for them because you can serve them. But don't forget who your God is. You know, that's one thing each one of us here can do. If we're committed to dedicate ourselves to pray for our family, our church, our city, our state, our country, the world, we can do that. That's not a big sacrifice for us. We can be committed to do that. You know, one of the other convicting verses in Colossians, and many of you know this, and this is so important to me as I'm in the, you know, as I represent a company, in professional life, you know, I hold this verse very dear. It's Colossians 3, verse 23. In whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. I remind myself of that every day when I'm at work, whether I'm treating a fellow employee, working on my projects. How am I to talk to them? Even when things... There was just 2 weeks ago, a poor decision was made, and we were called by the headquarters of American Express. It says, you guys screwed up. This could cost you guys millions of dollars because a terms and condition wasn't put into one of the mailers. And that's such a big legal issue. And we were like, you know, everyone's trying to figure out, who can I blame? Who can I blame? And, you know, it was a big struggle. But in it all, I knew that this is an error that we have to face. And I can't go blaming people for this or that. I don't want to get this one person fired. No. It's a continual story. This is... There's no answer yet of what's going to happen. But in light of those moments where you're against the wall and you want to answer back, you know, I want to answer back in a way that's God-honoring. That it's not so I can please the managers, the CEOs, to say, well, look, this person did it. No, I just want to make sure that I am above board and hardly do everything for the Lord. So our first word is commitment. Let's establish a way of life committed to having Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, at the center. Consistently. There's that word. Let us establish a way of life committed to having Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, at the center, consistently. Verses 10 to 15. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the dens of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. So they answered and said before the king that Daniel, who is the one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king. Oh, for the decree you have signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day. And the king when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, "Know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and the Persians that no decree or statute which the king established may be changed." Our second word is conviction. Conviction. Conviction comes from knowing the truth. Conviction comes from knowing the truth. From knowing God and being convinced that God means what he says. Conviction will help us to hold on to our commitments. Read that again. Conviction comes from knowing the truth. How do we know the truth? It's in Scripture. You have to study it. From knowing God and being convinced that God means what he says, that this is God's word. This is not a suggestion. This is not a, if you can do most of it, that's great. No, this is the word of God. And that's what God says he means. Now, if the truth in this word is convicting to us, that will hold on to what our commitments are. You know, Daniel's convictions, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. In good times and in bad times, Daniel was consistent. He knew what was going to happen if he was caught. He wasn't going to change what he was going to do because he wasn't afraid of men. His fear was in God. I heard a chapel service at Wheaton College, Greg Wainwright, who was a former chaplain at Wheaton College. This was just in March, I believe. He states, "Hardships almost always leads us to feeling persistent pressure to abandon our biblical convictions." One more time. "Hardships almost always leads to us feeling a persistent pressure to abandon our biblical convictions or to settle for a compromise. All too often, it weakens our trust in God." And that's what happens sometimes, doesn't it? When hardships come and we're not strong in knowing what God says and our convictions are, it's difficult and it weakens us. But Daniel, he was committed to maintaining his convictions. He did not try to impose his convictions upon others. He didn't say, "Hey, you guys come, you know, let's all pray. Maybe he'll change his mind." He did not try to impose his conviction on others, but he maintained his convictions in spite of circumstances. As he lived out his convictions, it lifted him up among the people around and the rulers he served consistently. Because he led a committed life to his convictions, people around him respected him. Even if they feel he's 100% wrong, these satraps and governors, they knew what they wrote. They knew that Daniel was going to be put into the lion's den. But somehow, you know, they say that, and he still went and prayed. He kept his windows open so they can see. Convinced that, you know, obviously Daniel knew what was the truth. We also read in Jeremiah, again, that letter that Jeremiah sent to the exiles in Babylon. In Jeremiah 32, 27, Jeremiah writes, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" This was Daniel's conviction. He knew that God was in control. He knew that there was nothing too hard for him. I mean, so chapters 1 to 6 is the historical book chapters of Daniel. And once we go on to chapter 7, we're going to have the prophetical. But in the historical, I mean, the fiery furnace to when they were first taken across with the diets, Daniel knew who he feared. He feared God and not man. And so he stood up. He consistently was committed for his convictions. It continues again in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 29 again. I'm going to read Jeremiah 29 verse 10-14. And obviously, I should have said this earlier, but Jeremiah and Daniel were very, you know, they were at the same time, obviously, because he was writing about the exile. It reads in verse 10 of chapter 29 of Jeremiah, "For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you, to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me, and when you search for me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I will restore your fortunes and will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. I will bring you back to the place where I have sent you into exile." Let me just... You know, our second word is conviction. Conviction comes from knowing the truth, from knowing God and being convinced that God means what he says. Our third word is courage. Our third word is courage. Warren Wiersbe writes, "Had Daniel not been a man of faith and courage, Daniel could have compromised and found excuses for not maintaining his faithful prayer life. He might have closed his windows and prayed silently three times a day until the month was over." Easy, right? Who else? Who would have known? "Or he could have left the city and prayed somewhere else. But that would have been unbelief and cowardice. He would have been scheming like the enemy, and the Lord would have withheld his blessing. No, a man like Daniel feared only the Lord. And when you fear the Lord, you need not fear anyone else." Now, this is from Warren Wiersbe. "Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Joshua 1:9. Some of the characters we see in chapter 6, we have the governors and the satraps, greedy for power, but it did not end well for them. In Genesis 50, verse 20, it reads, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about his present result, to keep many people alive." The world is against us. The world is against us. But we know who's in charge. We have the word. We go into Colossians. He holds all things. We know who's in charge. For Darius, King Darius, notice in his first decree, what he signed off, he declared that he was God. But in his second decree, after Daniel was brought out of the lion's den, but his second decree declared that the God of the Hebrews was the true and living God. Darius joined King Nebuchadnezzar, giving public testimony to the power and glory of the true and living God. All exemplified through Daniel's consistent commitment to God. And then we have Daniel. Daniel was humble and clear in acting consistently to his commitment with convictions and with courage for God. This is the example for us to exemplify, to live consistently. Let's live consistently to establish a way of life committed to having Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior at the center. Let our convictions come from knowing the truth, from knowing God's word and being convinced that God means what he says. Then be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You know, in studying it, chapter 6, I mentioned earlier last week that the mother of my best friend, who was kind of a spiritual mom to many, I was able to speak at the remembrance yesterday. It was yesterday. And a little background, it was 46 years ago. 46 years ago when I moved to Oak Park. A new country, a new family, new school, new friends. God in his providence, God in his sovereignty introduced me to Sam Brooks. And yesterday I was able to give a remembrance, it's not a speech. It was a respectful memorial to his mom. She was 84 years old. And I say that because in the context of Daniel, when he was in his 80s. She was 84 years old. She graduated on into our Lord's presence. One of the verses I shared at this funeral yesterday was from Proverbs 31, verse 25. I think this exemplified the truths that, you know, I had been studying in Daniel chapter 6. But Proverbs 31, 25 says, "She is clothed with strength and honor, and she can laugh at the time to come." That's from the NET version, the New English Translation. She's clothed with strength and honor, and she can laugh at the time to come. She can laugh at the time to come. Just as Daniel knew who was in control, Mrs. Brooks, in spite of losing her husband when 40 years ago, in spite of losing a child, in spite of so many different problems, in spite of all those things, she was clothed with strength and honor. And she can laugh at the time to come because she knew who was in control. And that was the challenge for me, studying Daniel chapter 6. Am I founded, you know, I just turned 60. We'll get my AARP card soon. I make light of that, but, you know, he's been good. There's been challenges and there's blessings. Am I consistently, and this is me, I'm asking myself this, am I consistently committed and convicted and courageous in God's word, in what he teaches in this Bible? Is it enough value to overrule my life? Would I die for that? Now, that's a tough question. I'm not going to answer that. I would like to say yes, but, you know, who knows? course I would like to say yes. She's clothed with strength and honor, and she can laugh at times to come. That's the challenge each one of us has. Do we know who's in control? Do we know if we were going to be put... one of the things, you know, Friday night, we were at the IIT community time, and we were actually talking about Isaiah 53 and about Christ. And the group, you know, the dialogue always, we try to always bring it back to Christ, but the students will open up the conversation. And when the conversations came to what's happening in Nigeria, the hundreds of thousands of Christians being killed because of their religious beliefs, one of the people in, one of the students, the young men who was in our group, was from Ghana and explained, you know, it's always been that way. But one of the questions asked is, are you willing to die for what you believe in? This is happening right now. Are you willing to die in what you believe in? Are you committed to your convictions of God's truth? Are you courageous enough to be in the gap? And do you do it consistently? Because, yeah, it's easy once in a while to do it. But do you do it every time? Obviously, we're not all perfect. Of course not. But that's the lesson, you know, I read from Daniel chapter 6, that this man, he was in his 80s, maybe late 70s. Depends on how old you think when he came over to exile. He had high positions in government. He could have had whatever he wanted to do. Like Warren Wiersbe said, all he had to do was just close the windows, the blinds. No one would have known. But no, his convictions were true. He was committed. And he was courageous. You know, one of the things that I was at a Bible study with these men and women who served in Muslim countries. And one of the questions asked is, what do you need to go to these countries? What do you need? And one of the men said, Acts chapter 4. You have to be courageous. You have to be brave. You have to be brave. And that was the description of Peter by the Pharisees. Who are these people? Why do they do this? Why did they heal? Don't they know what's going to happen to them? No, they were committed. Their convictions and what the word says, what Jesus said is true. And what he says, he means. This is also a word from Greg Wabright. And he's a former chaplain at Wheaton College. I think he was like a chaplain right after my son and daughter graduated from there. He says, this just remind me once again the truth. Why am I doing the things I'm doing? He says, our God is a miracle-working God. He can close the mouths of lions and defeat powerful foes. But one of his greatest miracles is that he forgives our sins, breaks strongholds in our lives, and remakes us until we are conformed to the image of Jesus. That's our journey. We want to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Be transformed. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed into Jesus' likeness. To be committed to our convictions, to be courageous, to stand for our convictions, and to be consistent. Heavenly Father, help us to develop deep spiritual convictions that we can truly live out and not just speak. And can you help us through the Holy Spirit to have the courage of Daniel, to stand firmly for the Word of God, even when others oppose us. And even when our own natural thoughts would lead us to doubt. May our lives, like Daniel's, reflect unwavering faith and steadfast devotion to you, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.